Blog Talk Radio.
Would have thought I'd be caught in this life, let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the ow. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison blowing connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run a town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear, cause they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was, cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turn me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me, but I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, bitch, it's true. All I got is this money, this to do.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.
The calling number is 917-889-9592. You got the next night, the tennis blocks are loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chef. So I'm sorry about the technical difficulty. I don't know what's going on here on the East Coast. Just vibe with me, Sports City. You got the trio here as of right now. Hopefully these people will call in and get their food for thought. We got a lot of food for thought for y'all to do these dishes. SportsCityChefs.com, that's the website. You already know the slogan. A lot of stuff went on today, people. A lot of stuff went on today. Get these guys in this kitchen as best as I possibly see fit. Both of them are my big brothers. We're calling out of South Carolina. We got him here. The Brooklyn Knight himself, Mr. Knight, a.k.a. Nostradamus. Welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
Yeah, I'm fine. What's going on?
Oh, I got work to do, Sports. I got work to do. It's okay. I've been in this situation for years now. For years. So I know what I gotta do. Last but not least, the third man of the weaving situation. Last but not least, like I said, Arkeezy. Welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling good, Timeless. Chandler, happy to be back in the kitchen, man. Let's run this 3-man weave like we do.
Okay, so the news of the day, and this is actually one of Chandler's guys. So, you know, I'm going to come right to him. I want to start this thing up. I'm going to wake him up. I'm going to give him his cup of joe. Your thoughts on David Lee heading back to the East Coast. Now, it seems like he's going from East to West and back to the East. And knowing that he's getting up there in age, and I actually feel bad in saying that because me and him are the same age. So, David Lee being 34, 35 age range and just now, you know, getting a championship under his belt, how do you feel of him getting traded to the Celtics and what he could provide to give the Celtics team a lift? And also on the other end of the spectrum, Gerald Wallace heading to the Warriors and him being one of the high-flying acts, your thoughts on what he provides for that team also?
David Lee, it's a good situation for him. He's going to get the play. He helps Boston. Boston, they're telling people for the past 2 years that Boston is a team on the rise. Another great move by Danny Ainge. They got a crowded front court there. Danny Ainge will probably move a couple more pieces before all is said and done, but David Lee can help them. As far as Gerald Wallace has been done for 2 years. So basically, he's just ballast. Golden State, he's just going to be there for the ride. His game is gone. His game is shot, pretty much. So it is what it is.
Can I anger you a little bit, Chandler, before I throw it to Roy?
I ain't worried about getting angry. I got that things on my mind. What's up?
So do you think this is a situation that they're bringing David Lee in to kind of be like the Kevin McHale, knowing that he's a you know, a 5-tool guy or a Swiss Army knife situation. He can step out and knock down jump shots. He has a decent post game as well. He gets above the rim, not like the high dunker that he used to be, but he rebounds also. Knowing that they can get a lot out of David Lee, your thoughts on if they can compare this to a similar situation to one of the guys with the better post game that my high school coach used to love to resort to and saying Kevin McHale, or try and throw Larry Bird out there. I didn't want to throw Bird out there to you because he's not a small forward. He's a power forward, different position. But your thoughts on, you know, the speculation around him going to a city like Boston?
Well, I mean, I didn't catch some of what you said, but I think for David Lee, I think it's a good move. I mean, David Lee is a double-double. He's a double-double guy. This is a guy who's going to get you 15 and 10. On a good night, David Lee can get you 30 and 20. He don't have a lot of those left in him, but he does have some left in him. When he got on the court for Golden State in the finals, you could tell the difference in the way the offense flowed. They were plus 16 with him on the court. They were plus 16. That's what he brings. David Lee has always been a winning guy. His game isn't appreciated because he's not really a high flyer. And for some reason, you know, and I hate to say it, for some reason guys like David Lee, because they're white, are undervalued. If David Lee were black, people would have been talking about him for years, okay? They talk about Tristan Thompson like he's the second coming of Will. Guess what? David Lee has been doing that his entire career. What Tristan Thompson does, David Lee has been doing it his entire career. And he still does, and he doesn't ever get credit for it. So, like I said, for Boston, this is a great move for them. It's a really good move. It's a veteran presence. So it's just a good move for them, and it's a good move for David Lee. I always liked David Lee. I'm glad he got a ring, and I'm glad he's going to a situation where he's going to get a lot of playing time, and hopefully his back will hold up so that he can stay healthy.
Yeah, but Chandler, here goes the icing on the cake before I go to Royce. He's your enemy now. Now he is in enemy lines to you.
No, David Lee's always going to be one of my favorite players. There's been guys that I rooted for in the Boston Celtics. I hate the Celtics, but there's guys that I rooted for that played for the Celtics. I rooted for Tiny Archibald all my life. I mean, from Brooklyn. You know, Tiny played for the Celtics. So,
right.
I mean,
that's
David Lee.
Give me one more outside of Tiny.
ML Carr. I was a huge ML Carr fan. Don't ask me why. I loved ML Carr. Don't ask me why. I just did.
Coach Carr. Okay. Royce, your thoughts on this trade with David Lee coming to Boston, Jared Wallace going out to the Bay with the defending champions, Golden State Warriors. Your thoughts on either, I don't care where you want to go first, is the cookout. So this is basically based off of y'all. If you want to go Gerald first, if you think he has an added piece to this Warrior team, or just solely looking at the David West situation and what he's able to add to this Celtics team, kind of lift these guys from the eighth seed out there, was eighth or seventh seed out there in the East, and try to raise their stakes, if you will, with Coach Stevens.
Well, I'll start with Jared Wallace first, because it's been a while since we talked about Gerald. He hasn't been in favorable situations to come into, like, young teams and really contribute. I mean, he's a veteran player. He's paid his dues. He's got a few big contracts. And then, you know, he's been moved around. And then he's been asked to be a great locker room guy and a professional. And he's been doing that in the last couple of seasons, as Chandler pretty much pointed out. And the young players, they really respect what Gerald Wallace has done in the league. Now, with him going to a championship team like the Golden State Warriors, I think what he brings them is another wing defender who can defend some at that power forward position. And I think he would love to do pretty much what David Lee did, in the sense that he's a veteran presence. He's going to keep the locker room stable in Golden State. Not that I would think that it's going to get out of hand or guys are just, you know, loose cannons. You might have to reel Draymond Green in every now and then. But, you know, there's an opportunity for him to do the same thing David Lee did, and that's win a championship without having to do any real heavy lifting at this point. Just play when you're called upon. And so, Gerald Wallace, does he have anything left in the tank, you know, of significant value if you were, you know, a person playing fantasy sports or something like that? You know, no, absolutely not. But as a fan and you know, if you're interested in your team, if you're part of Dub Nation and you want to see them repeat, you have to anticipate that Gerald Wallace is going to have an opportunity to defend someone, you know, at that small forward and power forward position and make a hustle play, be an energy guy, you know, typical Crash style of basketball. And I think that opportunity is there for him. So, you know, he's made his money. Like I said, he's got plenty of big deals at this point in his career. So when you look at the Boston side of the ball, like Chandler said, man, you got David Lee in a great situation. It's a logjam of power forwards and centers in Boston right now. So there has to be some kind of deal that's still remaining. You know, Jared Sullinger, he's probably going to be on the way out the door, is my guesstimation. I mean, there are teams that need bigs, and I don't know what the plans are for some of the teams that need bigs, if they're planning on, you know, going undersized. But there are some undersized bigs, and then maybe, you know, somebody wants to take a chance on Tyler Zeller or Kelly Olynyk. I don't know, but I think Danny Ainge has to move some parts around, you know, bringing in David Lee. You just brought in Amir Johnson. You re-signed Jonas Jerebko. You still have Tyler Zeller and Kelly Olynyk. And, again, Jared Sullinger. I mean, there's just too many guys there. So once some subsequent moves are made and the dust settles, I think you've got to start David Lee. David Lee is going to want to start. I think that's why he landed in Boston. So I believe that, you know, at this point, I would like to believe, rather, without having spoken to him, that Danny Ainge and Coach Brad Stevens are committed to giving Lee the necessary minutes and the opportunities to be in the most successful situation and position to get a new deal. Because he is, you know, like 32, 33 or whatever, and he has one, you know, decent-sized contract left. I mean, the way they're throwing money around right now, he can get a big deal to close out his career for the most part, and he's still got some productive years in him. I agree with Chandler. I see the guy at 15 and 10 pretty easy. He will have nights where he's going to go 20 and 12 or, you know, 25 and 15. So it's a great fit for him. It's a winning franchise historically. So I think, you know, those who are basketball fans are going to love seeing David Lee resurface and be relevant in reality as well as fantasy sports.
Okay. Now, interesting enough, looking at the situation for one, this Boston Celtics team, I want to come right back to you, Royce, how they were in the playoffs this postseason, and interesting enough, they had to break a shoulder, however you want to situate the situation. But do they actually crawl away from the cellar with this move? Do you think that with them adding another big that has the experience and has actually gotten to a postseason run, do you think that this gets these guys out of the cellar in the East, or did the East just get that much more powerful in this offseason right here, including the draft as well? Teams like Detroit are going to be stepping up. Charlotte also in a situation where they have key additions as well. You have to watch out for a couple of teams out East. Does Boston have to worry about the teams that's in their rear view from like 8, 9, and 10? Or do they actually have to, you know, keep steering ahead and seeing what they could climb in their upcoming season in their schedule?
Well, my personal view on Boston actually making it into the playoffs, I just thought it was a strategic move by the Miami Heat to keep Philadelphia from having multiple picks within the lottery, honestly. You know, Boston, they're a young team. They got a great young coach. You know, I love me some Brad Stevens, man, and what he's able to do. Watch what he did here, you know, at Butler University, made his run, got into the NBA. He's going to be a big-time NBA coach. But the personnel, the roster, is still like a pot of stew, man. I mean, it's sticking, but, I mean, how many people want to eat stew on a regular basis? You know, so something has got to change in terms of the roster and the personnel. I'm not convinced that Marcus Smart is a long-term, you know, starting point guard. You know, Avery Bradley, I've never been a big fan of his. Jay Crowder right now penciled in as, like, your small forward. Evan Turner's been shaky-bakey since he came out of Ohio State. The roster needs work. So whatever they get done, they're going to get done by coming together as a team execution. I don't even see them making, you know, the AC this year or making the playoffs at all. You know, I would think some teams who missed the playoffs will actually get in, like the Miami Heat, like the Charlotte Hornets. You know, those teams could easily keep a Boston Celtic team out of the postseason. The Detroit Pistons, as you mentioned, they missed. I think they're going to be better. Not saying that they'll definitely be in the playoffs, but they should be better if they can address their hole at small forward. So is the East really, you know, powered up or increased itself to, you know, to be a force comparable to the West? No, not yet. You know, still plenty of work to be done by a number of teams in the Eastern Conference. And until that actually is addressed by every team in the Eastern Conference, you know, the balance of power right now is still going to reside, for the most part, in the Western Conference for the most entertaining brand of basketball. And when you talk about top to bottom, the win-loss records, those teams will be above 500 getting into the playoffs, and there's still probably going to be at least three teams in the East that may get into the postseason with a sub-500 record. And that's where work needs to be done at this point right now.
And don't forget about the Pacers either, depending on what they do with Hibbert too. But I'm wondering what the bigs look like also. But they get a full season with Paul there too. I still think there's going to be a team to be concerned with Coach Vogel there. I don't think they fall that far off the charts. A lot of people still overlooking what Indiana can do. But there's some considerable pieces and teams out there. And the Celtics actually were a seventh seed, if people don't remember that. They were actually lined up against Cleveland, where everything went wrong with the Olynyk and Kevin Love situation. So they actually made it as far as the seventh seed. So if they get better, they're an interesting conversation to be 6-5. I don't know they'll get as high as the fourth seed. If they do, that's a pat on the back for the, you know, Danny Ainge's and also Brad Stevens as well. Chandler, do you think that this Celtics team, with them adding a piece like David Lee, can actually get into the hunt of being in the bottom four or better? Chandler, are you there? We lost Chandler.
Yeah.
Okay, now I see what happened. Chandler, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Based on the way the East is going right now, I can see the Celtics being anywhere between a 5 and a 6 seed. Because I don't believe in Indiana, as you know. I think Miami's going to be good. We know Cleveland's going to be good. Atlanta, with the way they're losing people left and right, I'm not sure where Atlanta comes in. I think Atlanta's kind of dropped into the bottom half of the East at this point. I can see Boston being somewhere 5 or 6. I think what happened with them last year, the entire thing, them playing, them making the playoffs, how they lost in the playoffs, I think all of that was just basically a good education for them. And now you bring in a guy like David Lee with championship experience, a veteran who's been in the league, a guy who understands it's a process, that it's a marathon, not a sprint. I can see them being anywhere between 5 and 6. I don't see them in the top half. They're still in the bottom half, but they're at the top half of the bottom half, if that makes sense.
It makes sense, but there's a lot of interesting teams out here now that got stronger as well, too. So this David Lee move, you got some confidence in for them to get out and be a considerable force in the Eastern Conference. This is something that we do have to see. I do like the move for David Lee, at least that he gets to go out, you know, playing a decent amount of time for this Celtics team before he ends up trying to hang those sneakers up. And I want to say within a 3 to 4 year deal or a 4 year situation for David Lee before it starts to look like it's cutting time for him. But we'll see. We'll see. This is something that we need to see going into the 2015-2016 season. But they have their work cut out for them. But this is an interesting move. And we already know what Golden State has on their plate. They're defending a championship. Hopefully Steve Kerr can get – and it's interesting that Roy threw the nickname out there. Hopefully he can get Crash's style of play to fit in with what they got going, because they're more or less the, you know, set up, penetrate, and kick those shots out to, you know, either Draymond up top or wait for Clay and Steph to go haywire. They like to play around the perimeter. So we'll see. We will see. Let me open this cookout up. Royce, what do you have on slate for us tonight at the cookout?
Well, there's a guy I've been watching in NBA Summer League that, you know, I've been thinking about most of the day, been looking at. Aaron Gordon of the Orlando Magic, things about like 19, And, you know, this young man has really improved his game since coming into the league last season. You know, he dealt with, a foot injury, foot and ankle. So he missed a number of games. He showed glimpse, you know, his athleticism. But his ability to consistently knock down a mid-range jump shot this summer, as well as he's added a three-point shot, and he just looks so confident. I just wanted to bring Aaron Gordon to the kitchen, man, and throw that around because right now he is the best player in the Orlando Summer League. We actually got two sites running right now.
Okay.
The Orlando Summer League is running, and then we got the Utah Salt Lake City, you know, Summer League is running as well. But right now, Aaron Gordon, man, is averaging like 22 points. He had a 22-9 performance today, so I think that might bring his rebounds down from, I think, 14, probably put him at like, 11 or 12. Still averaging a double-double in Summer League. And he's not really forcing the issue. So I guess the conversation would be, you know, how does, you know, Aaron Gordon kind of project going forward for the Orlando Magic this upcoming season, especially at that power forward position where, you know, it could be viewed as a log jam, but you talk about potential and upside. The question is, I guess, is Aaron Gordon the future at power forward for the Orlando Magic, and can he actually compete and win the starting position in training camp?
Now, I agree with you. I've actually been watching Aaron Gordon this summer league season, and I've been watching him since he came out of college out of Arizona. And there was just something about him. Now, he gets up and down the floor. He's a high riser as well, but a lot of people knew him for being in the paint and getting the job done there. And he's had a couple of finishes so far as well. The game that they played up against OKC, he actually was the high scorer in that situation, just like you alluded to. He's knocking down a three ball as well. I do think that there's going to be a problem in Orlando, and hopefully Skiles can take care of this situation. And you know, Scott Skiles runs a no-nonsense situation when he is the coach on board. So he has a lot of young talent there. He's going to have to use his pieces wisely. Aaron Gordon, this guy Mario Hezonja, if you have not seen this guy play, please check him out in this summer league. He is not playing around. He already hit a buzzer beater to win a game. He already goes to the lane, too. The Magic are a team to watch out for. Don't just overlook them because of what they've been going through. But Gordon actually puts an interesting situation in front of them with the big that they do have, and they have to give him more time than just, I want to say, you know, 21 to 23 minutes. They have to see if he can be out there in crunch time also. So this is going to be pretty legit of a situation for Orlando to get more production from a guy like Aaron himself. Chandler, your thoughts on Aaron Gordon, him balling for the Orlando team, especially in the summer league? And I know that this is more like, to me, I say him and McGarry are actually scrimmaging up against these guys, but because they actually are the ones that actually seen more NBA time out of some of these players that are out there in the summer league. But Aaron Gordon, the way that he's looking out here in front of these guys, you know, working within the offense and looking pretty impressive up until this point. Chandler, your thoughts?
I haven't watched 1 second of Summer League, so I couldn't speak to whether he's improved or not. I don't watch Summer League because I really don't think that it I don't think Summer League really gives a good gauge of anything other than whether or not a guy has talent and whether or not a guy's willing to work. So I haven't watched any Summer League, so I'll have to take Royce's word for it.
Okay, fair enough. Your shot, Chandler, give me something to throw on the grill that you'd like to discuss.
What did we leave off with yesterday? DeAndre Jordan, but I guess we can save that for a little bit. But
we can start right here. We right here in the middle of the show. We right here. You want to start there? We can go here if you like.
I really kind of wanted to address the Bucks thing because I don't know that I don't think that'll take long, but I think it's important that people understand what's going on in Milwaukee and what the NBA is based. The NBA is basically about to hold the taxpayers of Milwaukee hostage. They're threatening to move the team. Now, the NBA,
right,
for years, it's talking about, well, no, we're not going to do the vacancy. Now, all of a sudden, the Milwaukee Bucks finally for the first time in, I'd say, close to 15 years, has a good team, a good young team, a viable team, a team that fans want to watch. They just signed Greg Monroe to huge money. They made the playoffs. Okay, the fans are excited. NBA walks in and says, oh, if you don't build us a $250 million arena, we're moving the team to Vegas or Seattle. Now, when the team was bad, you know, we're not moving the Bucks. Now that the team is good and now that you can cash in, now you want to threaten the taxpayers of Milwaukee and make them buy you an arena. I keep saying you people have to look at what the NBA is doing with these contracts and all of these numbers. Okay, there is about to be a huge money grab by the NBA, and they're starting by holding Milwaukee hostage.
And that is a very great topic. This is something I did want to dig into, and this is actually Sports City. I must say I have to do it. This is personal for me. This is very personal for me. One being that if they move back to Seattle, they are potentially going to become the Sonics again. So now it puts me in a situation personally. But I want to see how you guys feel about that. Royce, I'll let you spark this one up. Knowing that the Wisconsin area or Milwaukee, however you address it, they're trying to get a new arena and they're actually threatening to move this team soon. And they actually stated soon. This is very interesting that they're going this route. Do you think the Wisconsin area responds and tries to keep that team there? Or do they actually watch this Bucks team go out west and try to make it happen in the Western Conference?
Okay, Thomas, let me say this. I'm going to tweak those numbers just a tad bit that Tanner threw out there. The ownership is going to do $250 million, and then they want the taxpayers, the city, to do another $250 million on top of that. So that brings our total to $500 million arena. And as he mentioned, it's definitely a power play to threaten to purchase the team. The league would purchase the Milwaukee Bucks from I think it's Senator Herb Cole, who's the majority owner or whatever, and move the team to either Seattle, which we know is already a proven, you know, market and fan base. As you mentioned, you know, you had the Seattle Supersonics out there for many years before they moved to Oklahoma City and became the Thunder. Or they've been talking about putting a team out in Vegas for a while now. And maybe the Bucks, you know, qualifies that team to pioneer, you know, that territory during the regular season. We know it's a hotbed. It's where, you know, summer league, you know, goes and kicks in effect. Actually, this Thursday is where a lot of players in the off season who are hot free agents every summer, they gather in Vegas at the summer league and they sign new deals. Man, what this means for basketball, you know, to the casual fan is like you've got to pay attention. You know that at the end of the day, this is business. So when you're out here and you're saying stuff about players leaving money on the table, and look, we talked about this as well yesterday, and this is all a part of what's going on, and that's David West. We talked about David West. I mean, like I said, I'm a fan. I can respect David West as a man, but I just can't comprehend the decision to leave the Indiana Pacers, where you're making $12 million a season, and you go play for the San Antonio Spurs, and you're leaving almost $11 million on the table. A championship ring is just not that important to an NBA career, period. Kids, I know when I was a kid and I was dreaming about the NBA, I wanted to be an NBA player. I wanted to elevate myself from poverty, living just across the train tracks from the projects, and, you know, have some kind of financial stability long term that would extend beyond myself, beyond my children, but, you know, reach my children's children's children. And look, David West, I don't know how much money he feel like he's made, but I just don't understand that. So I connect that to, you know, these types of moves that we talk about with teams moving around from city to city, where they can do what? Obviously, make maximum money. Okay, it's a revenue-sharing league. The move wouldn't just benefit the team, it benefits the league. The league is the NBA. The NBA will always do what's best for its franchises, okay? Every last one of them, 1 through 30. So if Milwaukee doesn't pony up, you can best believe their good is gone, okay? And they're going to stay gone until Milwaukee feels the brunt of the blow of losing its professional basketball team and now needs that income back. And so, now, you know, I read something timeless where I want to say it was the mayor. She was like, who does like a 12 or 18 year mortgage and you don't pay anything on it for like the first 8 or 11 years and interest just continues to accrue? It's like you wouldn't teach your children to do that. It's like, so why would I ask my constituents to do that? So, again, it's America is gangster, and the NBA is a part of American fabric and society, and this is a gangster move business-wise that's being, you know, played right now. So what I don't know if there's anything that we all can do about it, but there's a big-time decision on the table for the community in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Now, we do have a somebody at the door right now, but I do want to ask you this, Royce, and I'm going to get Chandler to mix this one up. Knowing that you threw David West into the mix of this scheme of things, into what's going on in Milwaukee, it's like a two-part question. Do you think this is, and let's just say, for instance, let's just say example, or let's play, you know, a game or whatever. Let's just say the Spurs win the championship this year right here. Is it a situation that David West is looking to walk out of the game, like walk away from the NBA and be content with the championship, or is this just a move to try and get a ring in one season? And also, looking at what the Wisconsin did, and this is where I really want to get Chandler's feedback on this before I let Chef in the building. This actually is hurtful to me because I've actually been to Wisconsin a couple of times. You don't really get good response from Wisconsin people for the Brewers games, being a baseball team. Like, that stadium doesn't get packed being Miller Park. And knowing that's a landmark within baseball, they don't really fill it up as much. Now you got a situation where they have the Bradley Center and the Bucks aren't as great as they used to be, but now they're getting back to that day where that dynamic three was there, and the dynamic three that I'm talking about that I can think about up there in Milwaukee was Sam Cassell, Big Dog, Glenn Robinson, and Ray Allen. At least they got some interesting pieces there. Does the Wisconsin area kind of like exert energy and money similar to what the people in Sacramento did that try to keep Sacramento, well, they kept Sacramento put in the city of Sacramento as well? Royce, I'll let you go at that, and I'll get to Chandler and let the person in the building also.
Okay, Thomas. Well, here's the thing, man. It's about, I feel like the whole David West move, as well as what's happening in Milwaukee, you know, it's like a powers that be thing with timing. To use your example, if San Antonio were to win the championship, well, now you're going to have a plethora of people that are going to say, see, if you sacrifice sometimes financially, you'll reach your goals as well. Like, money isn't everything. And truly, money is not everything, but this is a business. They have a collective bargain agreement. They go into meetings regularly, and the players' union, fights for the players and all that they receive for a reason. If you don't take what you can get when it's available to you, you're probably not going to see it. David West is not Blake Griffin. He's not a Dwight Howard. He's not a big man who was marketable. He's not going to see that $11 million later on in life via endorsements. It's not going to come from basketball. I'm not saying he might not be a great investor or a smart businessman or a wise businessman in some other facet of his life, but it's hard for me to imagine that and expect that he's that sharp in business everywhere else when you just left $11 million on the table. And then you're not thinking about the rest of the league, the people coming behind you. What about the other players who play at his level and below? okay, that's going to affect their monies. So what's going on in terms of the team in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and the arena situation? I've never been to Milwaukee. I haven't lived there. But I would think that it probably comes down to what it does in almost every city right now in America. It's employment versus entertainment. You know, there's probably a need for jobs and an improved, you know, living there. Economic empowerment and things of that nature needs to be established. But you know, one thing about us as Americans, we are willing to sometimes spend our last, you know, to be entertained. So those people, whether it be Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, they can continue to ask for new arenas, new stadiums, new ballparks, and get it because people need an outlet. They need a stress reliever. They need to get away from all the pressure and the tension and the struggle that comes with trying to, you know, provide for self and your family and meet needs when there are sometimes, a lot of times, not enough employment, not enough jobs, or more importantly, not enough fair wages for the job that people are doing. So, you know, this is a part of, you know, the sporting world where sometimes it's bigger than the game we're watching and being entertained by is business. It's about the game that others are playing, those who have the millions and billions of dollars are playing with those of us who aren't are low-level thousandaires, if you will. So that's what I see going on with this situation right here, Thomas.
Okay, Chandler, your thoughts on the situation that we just hit on, one with, you know, the David West situation that we've already alluded to yesterday, but Royce brings it up in an interesting perspective with him leaving so much money on the table. Is it a situation, let's just say the Spurs win the championship, is he leaving the game? You know, a one-year deal for $1 million, I'm not going to lie. He took the veteran's minimum, but I really think David West is worth more than that. And not to say, like, oh, I'm going to jump out the window. And he was dealt the $12 million situation. So, and I think he probably is in that ballpark or somewhere from 12 to, like, 6. I don't think he's a $1 million player. I think he's well worth more than that. And also, looking at the state of Wisconsin, the only team that they really provide a lot of support to is Green Bay. And that's basically because of the people out there in Green Bay are, you know, it's a town that actually they all pool their money to draw ownership toward this team. Other than that, it's like, you know, loose cannon situation with the Brewers or this Milwaukee Bucks team that we're speaking on. Your thoughts on what's going on in Wisconsin if the people do resolve to try to throw $250 million to keep their team there or not?
Well, I'm in the store right now, but I'll be quick because I'm going to have to mute it because I'm going to go to the register. But, you know, I agree with everything Roy said. The fact of the matter is that you can't – I'll speak with David West first. David West, I get why he did it. It is the dumbest thing in the world, seriously. The thing with Milwaukee, I'm going to say this, man. This is another example of the NBA being what it is, which is a business – and showing the fans that they don't give a damn about them, all that matters to them is the money. That's all that matters to them. David West is not ever going to see that $11 million. And if he doesn't win a ring, you think anybody's going to give him more than a veteran's minimum next season? After
no.
The, absolutely not.
Right. I definitely agree. I think he really hurt himself by doing that. That's why I said I think he's worth more than that. But I don't think he'll get back into that ballpark unless he – really significant in this run, and if they do make a postseason presence and get to another title shot, winning the Western Conference, that's the only way I can see it being a situation where another team piques interest toward David West, and i.e. he has to remain healthy, because that's the one knock that I have toward him, which a lot of other people do see. But if he could stay consistently on the floor is what a lot of teams want to see. So we'll see. This is something about David Lee, but also, I mean, David West, excuse me, but also for the people out there in Milwaukee. I hope you keep your team out there in the Eastern Conference in Wisconsin, because it just draws that aura with them being by Michigan to play the Pistons, or being 45 minutes away from Chicago, knowing how that highway separates them and knowing how it actually, you know, materializes into a decent rivalry. As the Bulls and Bucks went at it in the first round of the postseason. And they ended up exiting after game six, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll see how this does pan out, but I hope the people out there in Wisconsin do pay attention to what's going on. We do have a chef here at the building. Nacho, welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
Oh, I'm feeling pretty good. Just getting off work, getting in here, listening to the great conversation. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing all right. Your thoughts on the conversation at hand right now?
Well, this has nothing to do with Wisconsin or the fans or even the Bucks in general. It's about Vegas, baby. The Coyotes, they just upped and they're going about to leave to go to Vegas because Vegas is building that new $375 million arena / event center. What's the biggest thing right now? It's moving. It's creating a buzz by moving your team, especially a good team, and hopefully it does some work. So this is really not a ploy. I don't think it's a ploy of any kind, shape, or form other than Vegas getting their greedy little hands on five major sports. They're trying to get in the NHL with the Coyotes and what Glendale's doing to my Coyotes, and now they're going to get the Bucks, and they're trying to get an NFL team as well. So I think this is more or less has to do with Vegas and their growing and how much they want to have those major sporting events in that city just to boost that revenue for that money. So it makes sense because Vegas is building a new $375 million arena. You know, if you can't build something that's going to compete with that, then we'll just move the team over there because we're going to make money no matter what over there. So I believe, you know, that's what it's more or less about. Vegas getting their greedy hands on the NBA, the NHL, and the NFL. So that's what it is, in my opinion. That's what it is. A team that, you know, and Chandler's point, a team that hasn't been really good and now is good, well, it's a little too late to start being good when other cities are already building arenas and expecting teams. So I just think that's what it more is about. Like I keep saying and reiterating, it's just about Vegas. Vegas, baby. It's taking over the world.
Now, for me personally, that's a tough thing to hear. I don't want to hear another attraction coming into Nevada or Las Vegas area. But the one thing that I am worried about, though, is the support that they get. Other than the money that's pulled into there, Vegas doesn't have that big of a population. I mean, they're in the middle of a valley. Like, a lot of people are going to have to come mm-hmm. there from, you know, surrounding areas like Henderson, Nevada, or some of the select cities that are out there. And I don't know if they'll buy into a Nevada team, i.e. the Bucks. Like after probably the first 3 or 4 months, if they're one of those 500 teams, and don't forget, this is going to be a Western Conference team. So they're not going to just mm-hmm. totally just catapult to the top of the line. Like, they're probably going to be the pins, you know, the needle in the haystack situation, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to be poking fun at this team out there in the Western Conference. This ain't the Eastern Conference where they're just going to start rallying up wins out there. So, and you know, you got to appease people out there being in Las Vegas. I mean, it could be fun for a little bit, but you think people are going to start spending money out there to just watch the team get beat up or, you know, more or less just watch the other team with their favorite player come there? That's probably the only draw that'll have a lot of people come to those games. But it's interesting that you speak on the Coyotes are trying to make way to Las Vegas, so it actually is something that they will try to pull more revenue, if you will, or have another team in a different city. Well, they're actually in the same season, sharing the same arena, have people there, hockey fan, basketball fan situation. So this is big. Yes, Nacho.
That's the point. That's the entire point of it. It doesn't matter what the team puts out there. It's an attraction. What's more appeasing to an L.A. fan who's got a vacation and, oh, wait, I'm on vacation. I just so happen can see Kobe the same night I can see whoever else on the strip. That's what it's about. It's an attraction more than anything else. The output on the court from the home team can be whatever it has to be, whether it's good or bad. It really doesn't matter. It's an attraction. You're going to get all those Western Conference teams you talk about have to travel there a few times a year. So you just get all those, plus the Eastern Conference teams. You get LeBron there. You know how many people realistically would plan their vacations around being able to see an attraction like an NBA game. You get to see a game where LeBron's coming in town the same weekend you get to see you go spend, you know what I'm saying, the same weekend you're already on vacation. So it makes it more of a thing, and I think that's what the biggest draw is, and I think that's why Vegas will win out, is because no matter what the production of the home team is, money will still be lined in everyone's pocket.
Absolutely.
Word, I agree. Go ahead, Taylor.
Okay, anything else that you guys would like to throw at this before I throw it to Nacho, see what he has for the cookout?
No, you guys hit it all on the head, man, and Nacho's absolutely right, man. It's just – it's a money grab, pure and simple. It's a money grab, man. And Wayne Newton tonight. Hey, baby, let's go see Wayne Newton at the afternoon show and then go see LeBron tonight. And then we'll go see the Fountains at midnight. Are you kidding me? They're going to clean up with the team in Vegas, man.
And Chandler.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Nacho. Okay, I think we might have lost him. Yeah, we did. So hopefully he'd be calling back in. I know he has a question for Chandler.
Well, why are you trying to get him back, Timeless? You know, I was going to say, I mean, he hit it on the head. I mean, imagine you're in Vegas for 7 days. And, I mean, you're there, obviously, during basketball season, you know, especially if you live in a cold place like Indiana or you're on the East Coast, you know, Northeast where it might be cold. And you go out to Vegas and, you know, you happen to catch the home team in Vegas hosting LeBron on Monday, Kevin Durant's coming in on Wednesday. Who else is up and coming? The Golden State Warriors are coming in on Friday and then Sunday. You know what I'm saying? You got like a matinee, you know, a midday game that's going to be on ABC against the Lakers. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's ridiculous, bro. So,
well, this is the thing, though.
It comes down to dollars.
You would have some people come there, but Las Vegas, especially around that time, everybody's in the sport book. Everybody is chewing in the sport book. You're all packed in sport book. Look what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, to Chandler's point, you know, Chandler made a point about, you know, doing all these things and then at midnight. That's the point. If you live on the East Coast and you're done watching one of your favorite teams who plays on the West Coast done, you're up until midnight, 1 o'clock by the time you go to bed. Now you get to be done by 8 o'clock, 8:30. Your game is done and over with. And you're on vacation, and it makes everything that much sweeter when you have the time zone that Vegas is in as well, because you can get those East Coast travelers to come more often to the West Coast, and they get their game earlier of their favorite team, especially if they live in the East Coast.
And then you also got to realize that if the Milwaukee Bucks move to the Western Conference, then somebody out west has to move into the Eastern Conference, and there's been talk of that. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's you know, the New Orleans Pelicans or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, move a superstar, somebody that, you know, the league is going to make a lot of money off of with the regular appearances in postseason play, drive TV ratings. You know, bottom line, man, you know, either you have it or you don't have it, and unfortunately, you know, that's what it is. It's what's coming down to money-wise when you're talking about the movement of the league, its players in the league, the contracts, and, you know, the cities like Milwaukee. Again, if you're struggling financially, even Sacramento, I'm not convinced, you know, how long is Sacramento going to stay? I guess they are getting a new arena, right?
So supposedly, after they got that situation done with, like, you know, Kevin Johnson and all of them trying to get Sacramento to stay. So I think they have that in the works out there in Sacramento.
Okay. Well, if you need a new arena, you better build it now, because if they start talking about it, it's already too late.
Okay, so Nasa, you just called into the cookout. I need a topic out of you, buddy. What do you have on slate to throw on the grill today?
Sorry about that. You know, I really was, you know, the Coyotes thing was on the top of my head, but I really just had a basketball question, and it was to you know, to all three of you on here. and it's kind of personal, so I'll abstain from answering it. But Tyson Chandler and the Phoenix Suns, realistically, what can I expect from my Phoenix Suns this year with Tyson Chandler? Will we have a big man, even though he's pretty old? We have a guy who can play down low. Do we make a difference? Does it make a difference? I know it's tough to make it in even the AC, but does it make a difference for my Suns?
I'll let Royce start this one up first because I know where Chandler's going to go with this one. Royce, your thoughts on Tyson Chandler helping the Phoenix Suns out?
Well, is it going to make a difference? It depends. I think the difference is really going to be based on what happens in terms of the front offices at this point with Phoenix. I'm hearing rumors that Marquise Morris is on the trade block now. I heard also that he was a little upset, obviously, about them moving his brother to the Detroit Pistons. So depends on what you get in return at that position. Tyson Chandler, the move, the signing there, it concerned me because I thought the team was pretty much committed to Alex Len. He's 10 years younger. So if Tyson Chandler is going to take the approach and the role of mentor and help develop Alex Len, and if Alex Len can be healthy, and, you know, originally when that move was made, I saw Marquise Morris staying in the fold. You know, that front court rotation, it's not going to intimidate anybody. In terms of you're worried about what they're going to do offensively. But defensively, you got a couple of solid rim protectors there. They know what they're doing in terms of around the basket and around the lead and defending the painted area. I think Marquise Morris, you know, he could be moved. He's a little overrated, in my opinion. But, you know, the backcourt, it's about an entertaining brand of basketball. You do have the guards there, Brandon Knight, Bledsoe. You got to make a decision on whether or not you're bringing back Gerald Green. And are you going to play Archie Goodwin or T.J. Warren? Like, you know, who becomes what? So I think that team is definitely in search of an identity. They've just made a move to get bigger. They have been playing small ball the last couple of seasons. We know 2 seasons ago they missed the playoffs by 1 game. This team is not going to be a regular playoff-appearing team. I think the West has gotten better. There are some teams who have been missing the postseason who are going to be up and coming. But provided, you know, things, you know, the balls bounce the right way for the Phoenix Suns and they're relatively healthy through the season, they could contend for a playoff spot. They can contend for that. But aside from making the playoffs, I mean, they're not going to hang any banners anytime soon. So, hopefully, Tyson Chandler is there for mentoring role, and he's going to do what he's capable of doing, you know, 10-10 on a consistent basis when he has to and when he's called upon, and be a great locker room guy. Other than that, there's really nothing special going on.
Okay, Chandler, your thoughts on your former center out here with the New York Knicks, Tyson Chandler. Nacho wants to know what you see in the Nacho Diamond's crystal ball, if this is a good signing, bad signing, or indifferent.
Well, the signing was made so that they could prove to LaMarcus Aldridge they weren't going to ask him to play center consistently. In a vacuum, it looks like a good signing. It's really not. If you looked at that, first of all, the Morris twins together made one good big man. They have half a good big man in the Morris that's left, because the Morris they traded away was the better Morris. I didn't understand the move. I still don't. You got 17 guards and 85 big men who are all designed to run up and down the court, and you bring in Tyson Chandler, who's not a run up and down the court kind of guy. You got guards that really don't excel in the pick and roll, and Tyson Chandler excels in the pick and roll. The one guard you had that was really good at the pick and roll is playing in Miami. Unless they move the other Morris and get, I guess, into a more traditional offense in the sense of they're going to be up-tempo, but they're still going to be able to run half-court sets, which means you need a two-guard or a point guard who actually can play pick and roll well. And they don't have that right now. I say by the all-star break, you start hearing rumblings that Phoenix wants to move Tyson Chandler. Not because they're unhappy with him, not because he's a troublemaker, but because it's a bad fit. I know why he went there. It's $52 million. You know what I'm saying? You offer me $52 million, where you want me to go? I mean, hell, I'm in South Carolina because they offered me good money to come here. I didn't want to live in South Carolina. They said, we're going to offer you some money. I said, okay, when do I need to be there? So for $52 million, listen, I'll go play on the moon. Be clear on that. Right? So I don't blame Tyson Chandler in this, but I blame the management. This was not a good move for them, man. It's not a good move. It doesn't make sense. Now, again, if they try to run a more traditional offense, which I don't think Jeff Hornacek can do personally, then I can see them contending for the eighth seed. With Tyson, what he brings, the attitude he brings, what he brings to the locker room, the intangibles, and we say that about some guys, but with some guys it's really true. And with Tyson it is, the intangibles he brings matter. They matter a lot. I think they can get the eighth seed. But if they don't run a more traditional offense, man, I see them starting to talk about moving him by the All-Star break. And, again, it won't be out of anything that he's done wrong. It won't be that he's not doing well or whatever, whatever. It'll just be a situation where they got a piece that really didn't fit, and they got it to try to entice another guy to come, and that guy didn't show up. You understand what I'm saying? And I really think that's what it is. I think that at the end of the day, I think Tyson Chandler's tenure in Phoenix will last one season at best.
Wow. Wow. Already the trigger finger is itchy. Chandler don't play with him. But Chandler don't play with Chandler. Get it? Calling number 907-889-9592. Now, I don't know if you guys are big into college football, but here goes an interesting situation that I'm going to throw on the grill because I feel some type of way, and I feel like I want to address it. Now, the young guy's name is DeAndre Johnson, if I'm not mistaken. And the footage is out. They show him at the bar, and he gets into an altercation or ordeal at the bar. The young lady says something, and she puts her fist up because of the way that he's trying to pry his way of getting to the bar. And I guess the altercation got way up in his face that he didn't like the space that she was taking, and then he wails on her. Loses his scholarship at Florida State University as a quarterback, people. And it's a situation where, you know, in the heat of the moment, you don't know what's going to happen, and you're always taught not to hit a lady. But as crazy as this is, you're continuing to see people mess up whatever is in front of them, whether it's a scholarship or them having rifts with the coach and the coach kicks them off the team, so on and so forth. This guy is at a school that just won a national championship within the past 2 years. And this is all basically washed away. You're going to basically have to rebuild yourself and get a university or a college to believe in your potential, even though you are at a top-flight school being Florida State University. So I wanted to see how you guys felt about this, if you heard about the situation. If not, it's everywhere. But I know you could probably YouTube the footage of the, you know, the blow that he threw at the young lady before he ends up walking away from the bar and getting into a bigger fight. I want to see how you guys feel about him, the scuffle, and his scholarship, and if we could pull, you know, other people that have probably been in the same boat and try to better this situation. I want to see how you guys feel about it. Chandler, I'll start with you first. If you have seen what went down with the quarterback from Florida State.
Hey, Todd, can you go to somebody else and come back to me, please?
Okay. Nacho, how about you? Did you see the situation with the young quarterback out of Florida State?
Yes, I did. His career is over. He has essentially done to himself what Ray Rice has done to himself, if that makes any sense, but prematurely. He has no NFL career to back him up. He's got no college career to back him up whatsoever to speak of. He has essentially ruined his life before starting it. Professionally, and you can even say as an adult. From now on, for the rest of his life, he will be known as an abuser of women and a disgrace. So that will never – him getting on another college team is never happening. Him playing on an NFL team is never happening. I don't know if the talent was even ever there. Even if it was, it's never happening. He has essentially ruined everything for himself in a matter of 5 seconds. There's nothing else more to say than he's a disgrace to me as a man to let yourself get carried away and do something so blatantly stupid is beyond me, especially in this day and age. At all. Not even this day and age. At all. Just at all. So it's just – it boggles my mind that he would just do such a thing. So, like I said, he's done. There's no more – I about a month or two, we're not going to hear anything about this guy at all, because his career and his livelihood in football is done.
Okay, Royce, did you see or hear about the situation from the young man, the Florida State quarterback being DeAndre Johnson, and how he's basically washed all his shots away of him being with the Florida State University playing quarterback? But do you think there's a situation where no D1 school will touch him, and knowing that he has that capability of playing good football for Florida State, that he could end up helping another university elsewhere? Or do you think, like Nacho, that no school will want to touch him or bring him there at the end of the day?
Well, Thomas, from what I heard and read, you know, the guy really wasn't the heir apparent to Jameis Winston at Florida State. And that's why after all this came out, even though, you know, he released a statement, you know, saying that he was doing community service at a faith-based program and getting counseling, yada, 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 blase, blase. He tried to, you know, salvage his, I guess, collegiate career with a PR move to no avail. He was cut from the Florida State team, Seminoles. And, look, when you watch the video, I couldn't hear really what was said. But obviously there was something being said back and forth between the two. Both parties lost their cool. But, you know, we are where we are in America, and we're going to talk about it the way in which we talk about it. It doesn't matter if she struck him first. What matters is the perception that is our reality in America. And I'm not going to say that it's unfortunate. It's reality. So when he punched her in her face, he was the person with name value. He was the person who is recognizable in a conversation or a discussion. He's the one who had something to lose. And there is always a double standard in society, in this world. I'm not on anybody's side. Domestic violence, domestic abuse cuts both ways. Women abuse men, men abuse women, but oftentimes men don't acknowledge the fact that they are being abused or have been abused because of how that is, again, how that is perceived in society. He's not justified in his actions or in anything that he did, I'm just stating the fact. I'm telling you what I know. And, again, look, it's like he said, I mean, as far as his career, I mean, like, that's over. You got to move on. You know, if you're going to go to school, get your education, get you a degree. If he had a scholarship, he's probably not going to get a scholarship unless someone, you know, sees it differently and wants to give him a second chance. Maybe he goes to a D2 or D3 program. I don't know. But look, what happened, it did happen. The video doesn't lie. You know, sometimes, you know, it's, again, about perception and how you view that video. You can put 100 people in the room and watch the exact same footage, unedited, unfiltered. And I think the majority of opinion, the conversation, the results that are returned will be that, you know, it was about him and what he did wrong and nothing else. So, you know, that's where we'll leave it.
Okay, Chandler, are you available to speak on the situation?
Yeah, sorry. I just got back, guys. I'm trying to get some food in me, so you know how that is. I just walked in the door. the bottom line for me is this. I'll start first with his football career. He'll go to a D2 school, and in maybe three seasons, some D1 team will let him on their roster if he's good enough, because talent will out. That's why Greg Hardy still has a job, okay? So if he's good enough, somebody's going to let him play because, you know, it doesn't really matter what you do as long as you can help my team win at the end of the day. And let's be honest, that's really what's about these schools because that's what makes them money. As far as he goes, I don't care what she said to you. Call her back, spit in her face, and keep it moving. You didn't have to hit her. You could have spit in her face. You could have called her every name in the book and then walked away. What is she going to do? She's half your size. Now, she picks up something, she comes to you trying to end your life, then you know what? Do what you got to do. Put her down. That's not what was happening. You in a bar. People act stupid in bars because they've been drinking. That's why I don't go to bars anymore, because I used to be one of those people that got drunk and acted stupid, okay? So I stopped going because I don't want to deal with people like me, all right? Or get drunk and decide they want to say this and say that and say all kind of things. His excuse is, well, she called me a racial slur. I don't care what she called you. You could have called her everything but a child of God and walked away and felt good about yourself. No, you felt the need to put your hands on it, which says to me ain't the first time you've done it because you're quite comfortable doing it. Every bit of scorn that he's going to get is well-deserved. And I agree with you. Domestic violence isn't just man against woman. I mean, look at Hope Solo, okay? People still are, you know, she's right now being hailed as a national champion. She was arrested for abusing her partner, and it was a male, her husband, former, okay? She was the one arrested. She was the one abusing him, okay? But the fact of the matter is DeAndre Johnson wasn't that important to Florida State because they got rid of him quickly. They actually were talking about getting rid of him even before the video came out. So that'll tell you where he was on the depth chart. And you know what? He has no one to blame but himself. He has no one to blame but himself. Because you're at Florida State. Right now there's been 8 million exposés on the universities in Florida and how they get preferential treatment from the police. You listen, if you are an athlete at a college in Florida right now, you better not spit on the sidewalk because everybody's watching to see what these colleges are going to do the next time some guy gets in trouble. Miami just lost, what, 3 offensive tackles? University of Miami? They just got rid of 3 guys for less than what this guy DeAndre Johnson did. Okay, because these schools are under a microscope. Understand the lay of the land when you do what you do. And aside from all of that, he got no business putting his hands on a woman. So he's going to get everything he deserves, plus some of the stuff that some other guys should have got. Because don't forget, Florida State quarterback, assault on a woman, we think one of these guys got away. The name Jameis Winston come to anybody's mind when you heard this? You didn't think they're going to fry this dude because they think Jameis Winston got away with something? Come on, right, man. He, you know what? Listen, you put your brain on pause, this is what happens.
And the way that they'll have it, you can tell he's ready to do something too. And it's like, why? The reason why I brought it up is he's going to lose that. Well, he already lost the scholarship. And you don't want to fall from D1A and in front of a team that's at least top 5 ranked in the nation. Well, this is before Jameis left, but still, yeah. You are one of the guys that could fight for that position, like Roy alluded to, that he wasn't the heir apparent to hold that position. But I think, yeah, he had the talent and capability to do so. And he removed his name from that situation and let a lot of people down, whether it's the university or his family, friends from where he's from. You are the news now on making a crazy act happen in a bar, which you probably could have been underage. I don't think you're 21. They got you drinking illegally. How about that? On camera. Oh, God. I want to see how you guys, if you guys got more on Slater, I can keep rocking. I'll come to you next week. The topic that you want to throw on the grill here at the cookout.
I mean, nothing major, man, just some small signings today. I mean, you know, some rookies, you know, signed their deal. You know, Jahlil Okafor inked his rookie contract deal. Trey Lyles inked his deal with the Utah Jazz. And then Jason Smith, who used to play with the Knicks last season, you know, he signed a deal with the Orlando Magic. And Alan Anderson from the Brooklyn Nets, he's now a Washington Wizard. So if you want to throw that around the kitchen, you know, you can just talk about how you guys might feel. If anybody's a difference maker, aside from the rookies, but, you know, you can go there as well.
Okay, well let's talk about how about this. I'll start it off with you, Chandler. Your thoughts on KG getting a 2-year deal where his career was in question out of this season right here. Knowing that he said he wanted to come back, now they put an extra 2 years on Kevin Garnett, where I'm not going to lie, I was one of the people that seen a heavy decline in what Kevin Garnett was bringing to the table. Is this a situation where they seen a spark back in his lift on the floor, or, you know, him being a mentor to a guy like Kyle Anthony Towns and, you know, other bigs that they do have up there in Minnesota to try and get these guys back to postseason relevance in the Western Conference, no less? Your thoughts on Garnett signing a 2-year extension?
Kevin Garnett is not a good enough player for a 2-year contract. But I remember telling you that they were going to keep Garnett. When he went there last year, I started talking about he wanted to keep playing. I told you they will let him play as long as he wants. Kevin Garnett could run for the governor of the state of Minnesota and win in a landslide. Okay? They love him there. They love him there. That's where he fits. I think this contract is more so about transitioning him into management and also allowing him, as you said, to mentor Karl Anthony Towns, to mentor some of those younger players, the Andrew Wiggins, guys like that, to teach them how to be professionals. I don't care if Kevin Garnett is a basketball player. I truly don't. As a person, as a professional, he's above reproach. You can't say anything negative about what he's done with his life on, off the court or on the court. You can't say anything negative about it. You can talk about how his methods, you know, group this, that, and the other, but you really, even I can't stand Kevin Garnett. You will never hear me question his work ethic, his commitment, and his professionalism, and his conduct as a man. His conduct as a man. He has conducted himself as a man in every aspect that a man, as a man should conduct himself. You know, if he's doing something on the side, you don't hear about it. He's taking care of his family. You don't hear about, oh, he got a baby mama here, baby mama there, like Dwayne Wade. You know, he's not marrying this one and having a baby by that one. He's not getting arrested. He's not getting DUIs. None of those things are happening with him. And that's what they need with that really young, really rich locker room they have there. Because let's be honest, no matter what they gave him, he's probably going to be one of the lower paid guys on the team. If you think about it, with some of these rookies and the money that they're getting, he ain't going to be one of the highest paid guys on the team. They need somebody there to basically say to them, look, this is how you act. This is how you conduct yourself. And if you don't want to conduct yourself like this, I can go to management because ownership loves me and get you up out of here. So these are your choices. Fall in line or we will get you out of here. And Minnesota, Minneapolis, that is not a bad place to play basketball. It's not a bad place to be an athlete and be a star athlete. It's really not. I mean, there ain't a whole lot to do after 11 o'clock. I get that. Ty, you know that most of the stuff closes down around 12, 1 o'clock, which is good because you ain't got no business being – listen, you ain't got no business being out after 1 o'clock in Minneapolis anyway because there ain't nothing open. All right, there's nothing open. So it's a good move by them. And I think it's a good way for him to end his career, end it where he started, because I truly think he's going to wind up in management or maybe ownership with that franchise.
Okay, let's throw this one around the kitchen. Royce, I'll allude to you. Your thoughts on the KG situation, him getting a 2-year extension. You think he's going to be more of a mentor out there and an extension of the coach, or do you still think he has something left in the tank to help this Minnesota Wolves team out west?
Well, I think I agree with everything that Chandler stated. I see KG at best, you know, playing, you know, anywhere 10 to 15 minutes a game, but he's definitely going to be a voice, you know, in the practice court. I think that's what it's about, you know, the practice court, how you practice the game, how you come to work every day, how that translates, you know, to game time, clutch moments. These guys, these young players, a lot of young talented players, you know, in this Minnesota franchise right now, they're going to get championship conversation from Kevin Garnett. You're going to get conversation from a guy who came straight from high school, signed a big-time, you know, historic multi-year deal, two of them at that, made a couple of $100 million, you know, while in Minnesota, put up crazy numbers, literally carried a franchise, an expansion franchise from nothingness to the Western Conference Finals before being traded, and even stayed longer than he probably should have because he was that committed, and it brought him to tears, the pain and the losing and the interview. I still remember that like it was yesterday. Kevin Garnett, you know, just like, give me a second to get myself together, because he was losing and he wasn't used to it. So, you know, that's what you get with KG, man. You get a real person who's going to teach these guys how to, you know, respect the game, love the game, protect the game. And at the same time, they learn the lesson from KG, and that is get your money, man. Do not pull a David West. And I'm going to end on that.
Okay, last on this situation, Wilkie Nato, your thoughts on KG. Do you still think he has it in his tank, or do you think he's more or less going to be a mentor for the next two seasons?
You know, I concur with both the gentlemen on the panel. He is the mentor. I do think he does obviously – he still obviously can play the game, but the contract is not for his on-the-court performance. He obviously – we all know he had influence in the draft process, talking to, even calling guys that they were interested in. So I think this is just a segue for him to mentor these guys coming in next year, be involved in the draft process even more, probably be more in depth, and then after that pursue probably a career on the coaching staff for the Timberwolves. That's what I see this playing out to be, but I don't see this in any way, shape, or form for the play on the court. That's why he's getting paid. He's going to get paid, like the two gentlemen before me just stated, to get these guys in line, show them how to play, to show them how to act on and off the court, and show them how to be a man in this sport, and be a man among you know, among these guys that want to act like children. So that's pretty much what he's there for. Like I said, I don't really don't think it's for the play on the court.
Okay, I want to go into any of these signings that you guys want to speak on. Which one do you think has the more impact to show immediately as soon as the season comes into play? I mean, we have guys like Mo Williams, we have Ginobili resigning, we have filling the wave out there as well. Aaron Brooks just signed a one-year deal to stay in Chicago to be, I guess, to be behind Derrick Rose, wink, wink. No, they're looking like they're not breaking that thing up in Chicago. Which free agent move do you think is the best to materialize as soon as possible? Royce, I'll come right back to you.
Sorry about that. I had it on mute. At this moment, I'd probably say either the Aaron Brooks in Chicago or the Allen Anderson. I'm going to go with Allen Anderson and the Wizards. And the reason why I'm going to go with Allen is because he got plenty of playing time when in Brooklyn, okay? And I think there were stretches where he was a starter. And, Ty, you might not like this, but I just absolutely do not trust Otto Porter. I don't like his game. I don't really think he's an NBA player. He's definitely not an NBA starter. He's improved from his rookie season. I did see that, but you only improve to being a guy who comes off the bench. You need somebody there to occupy that small forward position. Martell Webster is pretty much set for retirement. He even said so, I believe, last season. So, and he's dealt with, you know, back injuries and things of that nature. And you got to remember, Martell Webster is a guy who came straight from high school. So, you know, he's made, you know, his share of, money. So, you know, I think he has a significant impact. He's going to defend. I'm not ready to say he could, you know, bring to this team anything that Paul Pierce brought, but if he could come close to doing the things that Trevor Ariza did, then they're right back to where they left off two seasons ago, if you will, you know, with that Washington Wizards program. So, you know, I like the Allen Anderson signing down there. Unfortunately, they weren't able to get David West. Yeah, that's the one that I'm looking at right now. He helps the Wizards immediately.
Okay, Nacho, how about you? Is it Tyson Chandler, or is it another name that we just mentioned? Is there one that we actually overlooked that you think will materialize best fit as of right now? Which one? I mean, you got Mark Gasol, David West. I mean, what player do you think can help a team out immediately as of them getting this free agency frenzy underway?
Well, I was going to, you know, say a name that you missed, but you just said it, and Mark Gasol. I don't think it's a moving of a team, but a re-signing of Mark Gasol. I think that was the smartest move by the Grizzlies, and it'll keep them right in the position where they're at, challenging the best teams in the West, trying to make it through. So I think Marc Gasol staying there is just something that I see out of all the signings. Obviously, you know, you can look at the LaMarcus Aldridge to the Spurs and things of that nature, but I think the biggest one, unnoticed, so to speak, would be have to be the re-signing of Marc Gasol.
Okay, and last but not least, Chandler, your thoughts on all of these guys that have made moves within the past couple of days. Who is the guy that actually will end up materializing soon? I think the head front leader could be Marc Gasol, but you might go elsewhere like you normally do around this time.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about the Allen Anderson one until Royce brought it up, and that is a really good signing for Washington, actually. I'm not a fan of him defensively, but he does bring a lot more Trevor Ariza and better offensively than Trevor, honestly, than he does Paul Pierce. I think the Toronto Raptors honestly made the biggest mistakes in most of their signings, and I think that's where you'll see a lot of impact. I think the signings the Toronto Raptors made were terrible. I think they actually hurt their team. I really do. I think they actually hurt their team. And I know we're talking impact, we're supposed to be a positive impact. There are some signings that are going to have some negative impacts. Toronto is the place where those signings are going to have the negative impacts. Toronto did a terrible job. They did a terrible job. The Marc Gasol thing, you know, we talked about that. But the Aaron Brooks thing is something else. I think that is another signing that proves that the management in Chicago is sticking the middle finger up to everybody and saying, screw you, you can win with Fred Hoiberg. And I think that the Aaron Brooks signing is one, I think that's the tipping point for that team is either going to make the playoffs or they are going to be an embarrassment. And I lean towards embarrassment. But the Aaron Brooks signing says to me that Chicago Bulls management is sticking a middle finger up to the entire basketball world and saying we're smarter than you. And I really don't think they are. So we'll see what happens with that, but that's the team I'm looking at with the signings they've made. Aaron Brooks said to me, listen, they just stuck a middle finger up, man, and said, you know what, screw you. We're smarter than you. Fred Hoiberg can coach this team better than any of you think, and we're going to go back to the playoffs. And I really don't think that's going to happen.
It holds true as of now. We got 3 months before we start to see how they really do look. We are at the tail end of the show here at the cookout. I need plugs to close out from the three of you. So let's have at it. I'll start with you first, Nacho. I need a plug, close out. Anything that you'd like to promote, thanks for stopping by the cookout here on a Tuesday evening.
You know, at Nacho in the Box, thank you guys so much for letting me come on. Touched on a lot of topics today. Food fight on Saturday. Coming back strong. November, Canelo, Cotto. Let's get it. I'm ready. Arguing over a pound, but whatever. They'll fight. We'll get into that on Saturday. And you know, Sports City. They got these NFL shows coming up soon, so, you know, the campaign will start soon enough. Hashtag back-to-back MVPs. Aaron Rodgers' best in the league. So just thank you guys so much again for letting me, you know, come on and voice my opinion on the basketball topics and let me gain some knowledge from you guys. It's always awesome. And thank you guys. Have a good night.
Food for thought. Hopefully you could do these dishes. Royce, let me get a plug, close out. Anything that you'd like to shout out as we close the grill up here at the cookout?
SportsCityChef.com. It's always a pleasure to be here inside Sports City, chopping it up with the fellas here. Crossover Cafe. We'll be back at it on Thursday evening. Come on out. Vegas will open its summer league on Thursday. So we'll probably talk a little bit more summer league activity in terms of the players, who's hot, who's not, who to keep an eye on in terms of these young rookies and prospects and things of that nature. It's been a great ride. I enjoyed this evening. Look forward to Thursday night, guys.
That is for sure. At least everybody can be back here. I ain't limiting nobody. I just want them to come meet Chandler. And speaking of eating, I try to give you the last word so you can get a couple more forkfuls in, because he literally was getting his food for thought on here at the kitchen. But I need a plug and closeout as we shut down the cookout.
Well, first, DeAndre Jordan, once again, we didn't get you on the grill, but trust me, we're coming for you, DeAndre.
Yeah,
we're coming for
he's
you.
Not safe Thursday. He's not safe Thursday. He's not safe on Thursday.
Donovan McNabb, not only are you an idiot, are you somebody who, when you were in the league, wouldn't say boo, okay, to a mosquito. You get out the league, all of a sudden you got all this stuff to say that you should have said when you were playing. You had your second DUI in less than 18 months. Now, I'm no rocket scientist. I'm an engineer, so apparently math isn't my strong suit. But you made a whole hell of a lot of money. I would say probably in excess of over $100 million in guaranteed money. I'm not talking about those other fake numbers. I'm just talking about the guaranteed money. You made close to $100 million. I won't even give you one DUI, but okay, the one DUI, okay. You just got a second one. You've been working. You got a job in television. You got money socked away. You don't even need to work, but it's just something so to keep you out of the house. And you can't stop getting behind the wheel when you're drunk. In Arizona, of all places, a state that's one of the few states they don't play with DUIs there. Ask your boy Charles Barkley. How stupid are you, really and truly? You are a moron. You're a moron. I don't ever want to hear you say another freaking word, Donovan McNabb. Shut up and go away. And here's a thought. Figure out how to call a cab after you've been drinking.
That boy ain't playing. That boy, he ain't lying. He ain't lying. 4-3-7.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. Like he said, we'll be back here Thursday. Crossover Cafe ended up getting our little, you know, summer league, and seeing if this frenzy does consist to carry on, because July 9th is Thursday, so it can be jumping around here in the kitchen. Stay tuned, man. We are on Twitter. We are on iTunes. We are on Facebook. We are everywhere. Y'all ain't there. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again, and if they don't know, now they know.
What about I be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flooring connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear that they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was, cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turn me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me, but I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, bitch.
celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.